from 1 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord. You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We worked night and day so that we may not burden any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you should lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers.
I always hope and pray that the words of that song ring in my ears, and may it be the same for all of us. The scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Hear the words of the Lord. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have a place of honor at the banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant, and all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, very quickly, I will tell you that this chapter 23, as you can see if you followed along in a Bible, you'd see it's almost at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew. So Jesus is with his disciples, and they're in Jerusalem, and they know, Jesus knows the disciples not quite clued in yet, even though they've been told, but Jesus knows in just a few days you are about to see horrible things happen. And I want you to be prepared. And I want you to know who you can trust. And I want you to know how much God loves you. And so we have these messages, because once Jesus hit Jerusalem, things really got scary. Jesus was constantly maligned, and people were constantly moving after him, trying to discredit everything he had said, everything that he had done. And in fact, we now are down to the scribes and the Pharisees. So Jesus has already gone through a gauntlet of people, and he's just trying to explain. My favorite verse in here may be, "Do whatever they teach, but don't do what they do." You know, how many, as a former teacher, I was often caught, "Well, Miss Helm, you said," Don't do as I do. Do as I teach you to do. It's true, isn't it? That also, Jesus has come into a time which some scholars have called like the ivory tower rule. All of these very important people were sitting in judgment of Jesus and pointing fingers always to judge. And as we read this today as Christians, we think, how in the world could they be that way? How can they be so judgmental? And how could they... Do you know the saying? Oliver Perry said it. It said a message to William Henry Harrison during the War of 1812. And he said in the message, "We have met the enemy and they are ours." Do you remember that? Some of you may remember later. In 1970, the cartoon drawer of Pogo wrote or made a poster, and it was to promote Earth Day. And he said, "We have met the enemy, and he is us." Oh, I hate that. I hate that I need to be reminded that every time, and maybe some of you know this, every time we point fingers to someone else, there are three more pointing back at me. It's the way that I need to remember that when I start to judge other people and when I start to point out everybody else's faults, Laura, take that speck out of my own eye and see clearly. If I have three times more, guilt. We do that. When we point fingers at other people, we become the hypocrites. And so when we read this passage where Jesus is trying to describe to the disciples what the scribes and Pharisees are doing, but he points out, do what they say. Do what they say to do, just don't do what they do. Jesus is reminding us that sometimes really great advice can come from some of the poorest examples. But each time we try to pull that group up of the scribes and Pharisees to talk about what horrible people they are, we have to remember that God says, all of you, are my disciples. All of us today, the way we live our lives, the things that we do, the things that we say, and sadly, all of those things that we have left undone, those are the fingers pointing back at us. Jesus warns the disciples, you need to be careful. You need to be so careful. You need not be so showy about the deeds that you do just so that you can be seen by others doing them. Did you catch me doing that? Did you see what I did? Did you notice that I have helped every single time that that Lighthouse Mission has called for help? I've gone to help. Did you see that? Did you notice? Maybe you could come with me sometime. I'll teach you how to be humble. Caught myself, didn't I? Because that's what happens to us. When I am only pointing out what I do so that others who might have missed that, Jesus says right here, be careful. He also goes on to say, and you know how people who want the place of honor, they want to be up and be shown. They don't necessarily want to preach because, you know, I've tried to get some of you to preach and you've told me no. So this certainly isn't it, but we want the place of honor. We want the recognition, but sometimes we don't want to do the work. I'm always impressed by people who say, oh, please, don't put my name in the paper. I don't want to be known for that. I want my deeds to speak for themselves, not your words to speak for me. And then Jesus says, be careful. Please be careful. Every time you wish to be greeted with great respect. I've already said today, I was a school teacher. That'll humble you right away. Just about the time you think you have it all together, and just about the time you think your kids just love you, and you go in and you say something that really isn't even all that controversial, like, yeah, you know that test is coming up this week, you become the enemy. It happens just that fast, that quickly. I don't need to be greeted with respect. I need to greet others with respect. You see, when we take all of these words of Jesus and we use them to say, this is what you need to be doing for me. This is what you need to be showing me. This is what you need. Every time, God reminds us, oh, no, no, no. Just do your work. Your place of honor doesn't come on this earth. Your place of honor comes later. So, one of the things that we have to remember and we have to be reminded is that in Matthew 6, chapter 6, Jesus gave some warnings to his disciples. He said first in verse 1, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. No reward. Verse 4, he tells his disciples, let your alms be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Verse 6, but whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. And then finally, verse 18, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. Jesus used those words and used those examples because he knew his time on this earth was almost over. And it's almost like he is just bombarding the disciples with all of these messages. Remember, your powers are not for human approval. It's not so that the people around you will say, oh my gracious, isn't she doing great? Your powers are to help others and to point the way to Christ. And so Jesus gives us the antidote. The antidote for all of this head knowledge and all of this head stuff is to remind us how much grace has been given to us. Grace are those things that we get, but we don't necessarily deserve. Grace is the time that we forgive people without making them ask for forgiveness first. Grace is the time we forgive them in our hearts and truly mean it and not just make lip service to it. You see, today, as we honor those who have gone before us, as we honor the saints that live around us, as we honor the people that we love and that we cherish, we're reminded how much they taught us about God. How much they taught us about love, how much they taught us about forgiveness, especially forgiveness. Especially forgiveness. Sometimes we look at the Gospel of Matthew and we think it's just a whole bunch of rules and a whole bunch of this is what you do and this is what you don't do. But in Matthew, the God of Matthew forgives infinitely. There is no end. You don't get like five chances and that's it. We get to continually go back to God. Matthew's God forgives infinitely. Matthew's Jesus forgives infinitely. And if we sometimes forget that, just after he goes through this about how Jesus denounces the scribes and the Pharisees and reminds us how we are supposed to live and reminds us how often our lives mirror that instead of what Jesus says, Peter has a chance to forgive Peter's denials. At the point when Jesus was about to be crucified and people said to Peter, "Don't you know him? Haven't I seen you with him?" And he said, "No, I don't even know who he is." Jesus forgave all of that. Jesus forgave the disciples and all of their cowardice that they had wrapped up around the crucifixion time. Jesus forgave all of that. And this is what he taught the disciples, that Jesus keeps on loving and loving despite their failings. And so we learn that Jesus does the same thing for us. Jesus's love never fails us. Despite how many times I stumble, despite how many times I mess up, and those of you know me best know I mess up a lot. I need lots and lots of grace. And Jesus says, "Here, let me give it to you." It's what the saints of God do. We show grace to each other, to people we don't know. It's what the saints teach us. And so often, when I have some kind of fake pious mask on my face and I'm pretending to be holier than anyone else, in the midst of all of my play acting, in the midst of all of me trying to hide what I've done or what I haven't done, Jesus says, "You know what? Take your masks off because I just really love your face." Our God who created us, our God who loves us infinitely, in a few minutes is going to invite us to come and celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Our God who loves us beyond measure encourages us to cheer on the saints around us and to celebrate the memory and honor those who have gone before us. And at all times and in all places, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus whispers in our ear, "Come to me and I will give you rest because I just really love your face." Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.